Good day, and welcome to the CTT First Quarter 2017 Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Francisco de Lacerda. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Good morning to you all. Thank you for attending. We will go through the results of the first quarter that we announced on Friday. The first conclusion is that we saw in this first quarter what we think is the stabilization of the top line. When you look to the recurring revenues, it's -0.5% with all included, +0.9% if we exclude Altice from 2016. I think stabilization is the word here. The recurring operating costs have grown more than we anticipate for a full year, but we have specific issues of the quarter that we'll go into. The recurring EBITDA and the reported net profit suffered exactly the same effect in terms of the impact in euro terms. Of course, the percentage go up quite strongly, with the additional thing that the reported net profit doesn't take out the extraordinaries that we had in the first quarter last year related, as you would remember, with that early termination of a rental agreement of a premise here in Portugal. We can see in the bottom that parcels have grown quite strongly first quarter to first quarter, around 10% or a little more. Addressed mail volumes, it's more or less in line with our guidance, maybe a little better, but we don't change it based on the quarter as we have always saying that. We continue to have exactly the same view. We have a strong saving flows based on which is one of the reasons of a strong performance in the financial services. In the bank, we'll go more into the details, but basically, we closed the quarter with 114,000 accounts open, which continues to accelerate the growth of customer acquisition that we have been able to do in the bank. Going to page six, we see that on the right-hand side, that excluding the non-recurring revenues of at this level of revenues on the first quarter last year, we have the -0.5%. If we take out Altice, we have a plus, which is a composition of a decline of 1.9 million in mail and other revenues, and a growth of 0.8 in E&P and 1.7 in financial services, and also 1 million in bank. Three lines going up. Mail revenues declined slightly, but in mail revenues, we have two things to highlight. One is that included there, we have a lottery that we sell. We have a small margin on it, and for some reason of our supplier in this quarter, it was stopped, but it is coming back already in the second quarter. The impact in revenues is higher than the impact in EBITDA. Nevertheless, it's something that we have to highlight. The second is that we have not yet any impact from the price increase, because the price increase just entered into play in early April this year, contrary to 2016, when we started it in 1st of February. We will, as you know, recover this impact in the full year, but not, of course, in the first quarter. On the positive side, we had a strong mix effect because registered mail performed very well in this first quarter, and mainly the tax authorities. The similar comment of last year, but on the contrary, on the reverse sign this year. We don't think this is a trend that change. We think that is something that happened, but we continue to have exactly the same view in full year terms. In the financial services, the main drivers are the swap by the public from savings of treasury certificates, because one of the product stopped to have some incentive that increased the interest rate, and so the public is taking money out of that one and investing in another one. And that benefits with our fee structure, benefits our revenues. And we also have renewed the contract with GCP, which the main thing is that instead of having that kick in in the second part of the year, especially in the last quarter, now we have a more stable along the year type of fee structure in this contract. And in terms of parcels, we have volume growth both in Portugal and Spain, and revenues growth if you consider only the pure parcels in Portugal, and certainly in Spain, at the level of volumes around 10%, and revenues 4% in Portugal and 8 to 9% in Spain. So we can say also that two-line revenues came back to growth as we wanted and was anticipating. Going to slide 7 in terms of the costs, what we can see is that in fact we have an increase in costs in recurring operational costs of 4.3%. A large part of it, around 3.9 million, comes from the bank. As we have been saying, is the full year effect of the bank. In the first quarter of 2016, the banks opened to the public in late March, and so the full year was a much lower cost base than the remaining quarters of 2016. So what we see is that the negative impact in terms of comparison that we see in the bank in the first quarter will ease up during the rest of the year. And what we have been saying, which is that we expect to have a full year impact in EBITDA from the bank, a full year negative impact from the bank, similar in 2017 of the one that we had in 2016, we continue to say the same, and these figures in the first quarter were already anticipated by us because of the reality in 2016. On top of that, we have an increase in staff costs that has also again to do with the quarter and some effects that will ease down during the year, and so we don't have today any reason to change how we view the full year. And going to page 8, again on the right hand side, we see that taking out Altice, we have a recurring EBITDA that went down, and went down in around 4.6 million. 2.9 of those come from the bank, the net effect of costs and revenues in comparison quarter on quarter, I already commented it. And then in the rest, we are talking about 1.6 or 7, and this is to do with several effects that I commented already in the previous slides, and we believe that we are with the same annual view that we have back in March when we released the guidance for the year. And now I pass to André to go on with the remaining slides.
Hello, good morning. If we go to the slide of the cash flow, let's see it in two stages. Let's look first to the adjusted. As you know, we adjusted because of the financial services flows that are in CTT. If you look at the adjusted map of the cash flow, you see that CTT, without the bank, generated a 16.6 million euros of cash flow in this period. The main reason not to be closer to the EBITDA level of this period is basically because the fees that we get from our agreement with the Agency for Public Debt were delayed the payment until we had the contract finished, so we didn't receive the fees in cash during the first quarter, so they are not here. If we had that inside, it would be around the same level of the EBITDA. If you look below cash payments and take out the Banco CapEx payments, sorry, and if you take out the ones that are related with Banco CTT, you see that we spend around 13.5 million euros, so we spend a big part of the cash flow with CapEx payments, which are not CapEx of this first quarter, which was very low, the CapEx we did, but basically comes from the CapEx did in last year, in the last quarter, which is always normally a strong quarter because of some of the IT contracts that we need to renew or we need to invest.
And so it makes that the payment coming 60 days after the contractualization, it comes normally in the first quarter. This, during the next quarter, it will vanish and will stay in a more stable way. Regarding the Banco CTT cash flow, basically, it's the increase that we have in our deposits compared with the investments that we are doing, so it's increasing quarter by quarter with the development of the activity of the bank. All in all, if you go to page 10, you see our balance sheet. Basically, in the first quarter, our balance sheet and our cash position stayed at the same level. The main difference that you are starting to see is that it's not only at the end of the year and at the end of the first half that we have a very high level of cash. We're starting to have also a high level of cash because of the accounts of the bank or the cash and the deposits and the credit that the bank will generate that will start affecting the balance sheet consolidated of CTT. Because of that, you'll find in the annex to this presentation an analysis that was done together with our auditors in order to, you can see the accounts of CTT without Banco CTT, or better to say, you see the accounts, the balance sheet and income statement of CTT, considering that the bank is put as a financial holding. So it only comes in financial participation, and it only comes in the income statement as a financial gain or a financial loss, if it is profits or losses. So basically, looking at our balance sheet, there is nothing relevant to mention in this quarter. It's quite stable compared with the end of the year. Basically, what is growing, it's the activity of the bank that is starting to become more relevant in the consolidated balance sheet. If you go to the business activities performance, on page 12, regarding the mail business, if you look first at the left side of the chart, you see that the transactional mail had a positive performance in terms of revenues in the first quarter, although the decline on the address mail was 3.7, you see then the decline of the address mail in the several parts of the address mail, which was 3.3 in the transactional mail, but because of the mix effect positive in the first quarter, basically because we had a very strong growth in the registered mail. Just to mention that we said in the beginning we expected for 2017 a stable performance in the registered mail, so we cannot say by now that this registered mail increase in the first quarter is something that will stay along the year. It was very positive in the first quarter, but there are the rest of the year, and you need to take also into account the performance of the other mail part. Regarding the other mail products, you see that all in all they have a quite stable performance, a small decline in the editorial mail, but it's a very small part of the mail business. And you see that the USO parcels, it's increasing because all the parcel business is increasing. And the others, you need to take into account here two effects. One that it was already, or the two were already mentioned. First of all, it's the Altice revenues that we start, or we stopped having it from December last year. And the second point, it's around 1.5 million euros of revenues we got from the selling of lottery, which is not what was not sold in the first half of the year or the first quarter of the year, but will start selling again in the second quarter. And this is, as it was mentioned, a problem with our supplier of lottery, which is almost solved everything. So in the second quarter, we'll start seeing again the selling of lottery. All in all, if you exclude Altice and if you take into account this lottery effect, you see that our revenues of the mail would stay stable or a little bit higher than last year. In terms of recurring operating costs, apart from what was mentioned when we talked about costs, which was last year we had a benefit in the first quarter from the reduction one of one benefit that we give to our employees with the telephone signature. Apart from that, basically the increase in operating costs are related with the increased activity that is performed of the parcel business and also of the bank business in our networks of the mail, the distribution network of the mail for the parcel business and the retail network of the mail for the banking business. All in all, you see that the EBITDA without Altice, it's more or less stable with these impacts affecting a little bit, but quite stable. And if you take the Altice, it went down a little bit further. If we go to page 13 regarding the parcel business, we already saw in all the parcel activities, the pure parcel activities in Portugal, in Spain, and also Mozambique. Mozambique, you, you need to take into account that we have always the effect of the currency, which is affects the results of the Mozambique. But in the parcel business in Portugal and in Spain, it went down in terms of volumes, which also represented a quite relevant increase in terms of revenues, which in Portugal was around 4%, and in Spain was almost 8%, which enabled that the performance of all parcel business of CTT, Portugal, Spain and Mozambique had more or less a stable performance in this quarter. If you look or if you take out the Altice revenues that we had here also, you see that it's quite stable. So it's quite important to show that we are having a strong growth in the parcel business, still affected for some of the other businesses that are inside of our parcel business in Portugal, namely the banking business and some logistics, which in the future we expect with the growth of the parcels, the growth of the overall business unit will start to become positive. The increase of the cost, it's basically related with the increase in the activity in the parcel business, because since we had a stable performance in revenues, without the income of Altice, which was not an activity, we had some cost increase because of that. So we didn't saw yet in the first quarter the positive impact of the increase in revenues or the better performance in revenues in the parcel business in the EBITDA, but we expect going along the year and going along the year with the restructuring of the operations in Spain, which will start showing year on year better performance in terms of EBITDA, we'll start seeing the positive results also at the EBITDA level of the growth in the parcel business and the restructuring in the Spanish business. If we go to financial services in page 14, basically this quarter was influenced by two relevant things. One of them is a strong placement of public debt savings, and you see here below that was an increase of 25% year on year in terms of placements, but also with the renewal of the contract with the Agency for Public Debt, namely with the change of the structure of the fees becoming more stable based on a selling fee and not on stock fees. This makes that the performance of the saving and insurance business will stay more related with the placements and more stable along the year. So the growth that you see in 42% of revenues in the first quarter, it's not something that will stay for all the year, the 42%, even if we had the same level of placements, because we will not have in the future the benefits we had in the third and the fourth quarter of the stock fees that kicked in at that time. So now it will be easier to follow up the performance of the saving business related with the placements that we do each quarter. Regarding the other product lines, we see still a decline in the other product lines, namely in the payment business that we expect along the year. As it was said, we start having some positive effect of some investments and some new strategy that we are following to increase the level of services that we render here. Regarding the credit products, I would just only mention that, if you recall, we are transferring part of the products that were done in financial services to Banco CTT. The most relevant one that was already transferred to Banco CTT since last quarter last year was the credit, consumer credit business, which made that in all the post offices where we have Banco CTT, is Banco CTT that is selling consumer credit. In the other ones, it will continue to be CTT selling, branded by Banco CTT or supported by Banco CTT, but will be CTT selling it. All in all, even with that, we saw that in the quarter, the placement of credit without all the stores that are now being sold by Banco CTT, they went up, so it's showing the positive effect, and we'll see better in the bank side of the cross-selling potential and having a bank the potential of increasing the selling of credit with the bank brand behind it. In terms of recurring operating costs, it went up basically because if we sell more, we pay more incentives to the selling team, so it went up because of that. All in all, the performance of the EBIT is quite stable, a little bit higher because of this impact of the restructuring of the structural fees of the GCP, but we believe that will continue to be stable all the year. If we go, last but not least, to page 15, which is Banco CTT, quarterly revenues exceed 1 million euros. Basically, 40% at net interest income coming from net interest income and around 650,000 euros coming from commission income. If you recall, the credit will have, or the, in the future, the placement of credit will have two ways of coming to the results of the bank. First of all, the consumer credit and credit cards, they will come in the results of Banco CTT, a big part coming throughout commission income, or it will come throughout commission income. So we are, have a partnership with BNP Paribas Personal Finance. They pay us a selling fee and they pay us also a profit sharing, but it comes throughout commissions. The placement of mortgage loans that we started in the first quarter, not yet very heavily, but we're starting in the second quarter with a campaign to the market to sell mortgage loans. They will come in the interest income, but as you know, it will take some quarters to start seeing the first results of the selling of mortgage loans in terms of interest income. But this 1 million euros was already 1 million euros growth from last year, which, if you recall, last year in the first quarter, we didn't have yet the activity of the bank open to the public because it only opened at the 18th of March. So when you look to the recurring operating costs, you see that they went up a lot, because we are comparing a bank that is already operating in the first quarter 2017 with a bank that was in the early stages of opening in the first quarter 16. So basically, this quarter is influenced, and we'll see this going fading away along the year by the fact that in 2016, the bank in the first quarter was not yet open to the public in a general way, so its cost structure was not yet fully in place. If you look at the asset structure of the bank, we have around 135 million of cash, 200 million of financial assets and investments, which support the interest income that we have in the left side of the chart, and 25 million euros of credit to clients, and around 25 million also of other assets. An equity position of 52 million euros. Just to recall that the equity will evolve along the year with the commitments that we mentioned a long time ago that CTT will do to the bank along the year, so to support the growth of the activity. But the most important things to see in terms of branches, we increased one branch since last December, but in terms of current accounts, we went up around 40,000 accounts, which means that is a strong growth in one quarter compared with the last quarters. We see that the growth is starting to accelerate. In terms of customer deposits, although it's not a strong objective nowadays because we are not having yet the growth of the mortgage loans in order to be willing to capture heavily deposits, it's also growing relevantly. And in terms of consumer credit, it's the point I would like to mention that in one quarter, first quarter 2017, we placed the same amount that we placed last year in the bank in terms of consumer credit, which shows that the cross-selling and the knowledge that we have a bank helps also to increase the awareness in the public of this product, and so it's becoming a relevant source of revenues for the bank. I will now probably finish and pass to Francisco just to say the last words, and we'll go to Q&A.
Well, I think we go directly to Q&A. The summary has been made at the beginning. So we open for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question over the phone at this time, please press star followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Once again, it's star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Okay, we will now take our first question from Christopher Combe from JP Morgan. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for taking my questions. Just a couple. First of all, can you elaborate a bit on the change of the revenue model for financial services, the new contract? How much are you able to quantify the impact from stock fees in the first quarter? And in the second quarter, should we expect sort of a one-time step change? And also for the full year, you suggested stable for the rest of the year. Does that suggest we could actually be flat rather than down for full year EBITDA? And then my second question has to do with mail. Can you comment on the estimated contribution at EBITDA from two extra operating days, as well as the resurgence of registered mail? And would you expect AFX for the rest of the year to be comparable in their weighting? I believe you have a one-day headwind in the second quarter and third quarter, and then a tailwind in the fourth quarter. Thank you.
So, if I understand correctly, you were one of the questions was if we change the guidance for the year. The answer is no. But our guidance for the year in terms of EBITDA, as you remember, was that without Altice we'll be flat, and that's the comments I made are exactly on that same line. In terms of the number of days, yes, we had in the first quarter this year it was two more days than the first quarter last year, and these two more days are practically related with Easter, because Easter was in April this year and was in March last year. And so not only is the two more days, but even the impact of Easter, which is a little bigger than just the number of days. So that's a positive effect of this first quarter that when comparing with the previous year. That is the type of thing that supports what we say. A quarter is not meaningful enough for the conclusions about, for instance, volume, mail volume evolution. But the issue last year was that the big change was in the last quarter and not in along the lines of the year. Nevertheless, last year we had the reintroduction of four holidays compared with 2015 and 14. This year we don't have that. We have, one less day in the full year,
yeah.
But not a dramatic change of 4 days like it was last year. And I pass you for the rest.
Just commenting still on that. First of all, you need to recall, although we have the benefit in 2017 of two more working days, we had in 2016 the benefit that we did the price increase in February 2016, and this year we only did it in 4th of April 2017. So in the first quarter we did not have any positive impact of the price increase. As you know, the price increase is made in a yearly term, so making it later than sooner, it will it enable us to increase more the prices, and we expect to have in the following quarters the positive impact of the price increase that we did in the beginning of the second quarter. So if we had the price increase in the first quarter, we could be talking about more or less 2 million euros of revenues. So if you put all together, the two more working days, the positive contribution of the evolution of registered mail on the positive side, And if you put in the negative side that the price increase only came on April, and negative because on comparison to last year, because the decision to come on April was a decision that was taken by the company, and we do not expect on year terms a negative impact, you see that in the first quarter it should be more or less stable, and it's what we are saying. If you take all, if you put all together, we chose that the performance was quite stable in the first quarter of the year with all this. Regarding the other question about financial service contracts, namely the contract with IGCP, basically we changed the contract with the small revision in the fee conditions, but the major revision in the fee conditions were that we start receiving a better fee for selling treasury certificates, and we do not get no more the stock fees on the treasury certificates. On the saving certificates, we continue to have the previous type of structure that we had, but if you remember, we are placing a lot more treasury certificates than saving certificates. If our performance in terms of placements continues to be strong as it was in the first quarter this year, we expect a quite stable performance in this product line in financial services. The other product lines will have two effects. We'll have the continuation of the decline on the legacy products that we have in financial services, like the transfer business. We'll hope to have already this year the top positive impact on the strategy that we are following in the payment business in order to capture more payments, so to have a stable performance in terms of revenues of the payments. And then the last point will be the part of the business that will migrate or not migrate to the bank along the year will have some impact on this, but if it migrates to the bank, the revenue will stay in the bank. If it stays in CTT, it will continue to stay in the group. So this is a question of timing. This is a question of also fitting regarding the strategy that we are following in the bank CTT of development of the network. So this will be the impact along the year that we could expect on our financial services.
That's clear and very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. We have four questions submitted over the webcast coming from Felipe Leite from Banco BPI. The first one is with regards to OPEX. It reads, do you expect for the next quarters an increase in recurrent OPEX excluding Banco CTT in line with the reported Q1 or a more favorable evolution?
Yes. Regarding the recurring costs, we expect probably they will be somehow higher than last year, coming from basically the growth that we have in the parcel business, which will make us to have more variable costs and some growth in our temporary workers to support the integrated networks that we have, and in the retail network also some potential increase in temporary staff because of the growth of the banking activities, namely the account opening process. At the same time, we are starting to sell products, puts more pressure in the retail network, which means that we have to have some reinforcement in temporary work in order to support that. But the impact in the first, compared with first quarter, we do not expect to be as it was, because in the first quarter, as you saw and it's written in the presentation, we had the 1.3 million euros impact coming from the benefit cut that we did last year, which in the next quarters they didn't happen because it's the normal trend of the evolution of this benefit. So we do not expect the impact to be as high as it was in the first quarter. To probably increase somehow, we are putting some efficiency initiatives in place in order to mitigate that, but in the next quarter still growth in the recurring costs compared with last year. Probably by the end of the year, coming in with the new initiatives, we could be flattish or somehow higher.
Thank you. The next question is with regards to new agreement with IGCP. Assuming the treasury and savings certificates placement made by CTT during 2016, the new fee structure with no stock fees would represent a higher or lower among the fees versus all fee structure?
Basically, on the average of the previous agreement, will be more or less in line what we have. The previous agreement was not the value of the fees were not the same in all the years. It was growing along the years. So we had, all in all, during the first year of the last agreement, we had lower fees. In the second year, higher fees. In the third year, even higher fees. Now, we made an agreement that, all in all, on average, it's more or less the same we had last year.
Thank you. And the other two are sales of, with regards to sales of former head office. When do you expect to close the sale of former head office for Euro 25 MN? And the second one is competition authority. What is the current status of the accusation of abuse of dominant position by the competition authority?
The former head office has a promissory contract with a term of 12 months, so mid-December is the when it expires the promissory contract. Our view is that probably the buyer will use all the time, and so we should expect it in the end of the year. In terms of competition authority, we don't have much news. So after we stated our reasons why we did not agree at all back in early November last year. Some informal contacts have existed, but nothing else, and we know now that they are working on it, but we don't have any hard information to give. Our view about the underlying reasons and what is around didn't change, so we continue very
comfortable
about our views and about what we think about the issue.
Thank you. No further questions over the webcast. We can now take our next question over the audio. Comes from Tobias Sitting from MainFirst. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I've got three, if I may. Firstly, on the financial assets in Banco CTT, could you provide a little granularity on what is in there? I understand it's mostly fixed income, but what nature of investments are you taking there? What kind of risk associated with that? Secondly, B2C market entry of DHL in Portugal, what are you seeing at the moment? Is that a viable force in the market already? And also, you may have seen that in Belgium, there was an agreement between DHL and Bpost for final mile delivery, and are you looking to track a similar agreement? And thirdly, the cash flow pattern, free cash flow pattern throughout the year, stripping of the real estate sale in Q4, but can we expect free cash flow performance to improve as the year goes, and how should we look at free cash generation during the year? Thank you.
Thank you. Deutsche Post DHL, as you know, a few years ago decided, two or three years ago, decided to enlarge its last mile distribution capacity to several countries in Europe progressively. One of the first, so going out of Germany. As you also know, Deutsche Post has a separate network for what is in the express business, so the premium business, and what is the parcel business that is more related to smaller packets, the e-commerce type that we see, where we see the growth. They have been in Portugal for a lot of years in the premium products, and what they announced late last year or early this year was that they will start to do also last mile for the parcels. We are their supplier for that now. They are talking with us. We know that they will do it progressively over the year.
And the example you raised from Belgium, what shows is that they entered Belgium directly 2 years ago, and then late last year they approached the bpost to propose to change tack and make an agreement with bpost for the last mile, which is in place since beginning of this year, or even since a little before Christmas. I believe for sure they will enter directly now because they announced it. That will have some impact. It's not a huge impact, but some impact in our revenues. What the future will bring us, I think the jury is still out, as the Belgium example shows. And for the rest, for the other two questions, I pass to André.
Regarding the assets of the bank, basically we have the bank balance sheet in terms of assets. A big part is placed in cash and short-term investments, basically invested in short-term. The part that is invested in other type of products, namely bonds. We do not have equity investments. It's bond, it's fixed income investments, of which a big part is related with public debt, of which two-thirds is related with the Portuguese public debt and one-third with other public debt. And then we have between 15 to 20% of investment-grade corporate debt. In terms, we still have also some bonds bought from some securitization of energy contracts made in Portugal, which is quite close to sovereign debt with a lower risk. Or lower risk of restructuring. Apart from that, regarding the last question was?
Cash flow generation.
Regarding the cash flow generation for the rest of the year, we expect a different performance from this first quarter. You'll see that in second quarter we will have two important cash outflows, which is the payment of the dividends to the shareholders. Or three impacts: the payment of the dividend to shareholders, the payment of the variable payment remuneration to our staff, which is paid at the same time, and last but not least, the capital increase that we have committed to the bank to do in the first half of the year, that will be done in the second quarter. So these are three relevant cash outflows. On the positive side, we'll have the performance of the second quarter and also the normalization of these payment of the fees of our agreement with DGCP, so we'll have a positive, we'll have better than, so the investments that, or the CapEx investments we had in the last quarter last year, they kicked in the first quarter. As I told you, the CapEx investments done in the first quarter this year were very small, so it will not have impact in the terms of cash outflow in the second quarter. For the remaining of the year, we'll start having the positive impact of a better performance year on year of the bank, as it was explained, and in terms of CTT, we'll have the cash flow generation related with the commitment we have in terms of EBITDA stabilization.
Thank you. Very helpful.
Thank you. We will now take our last question from Nuno Estacio from Haitong Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning everyone. Just a couple of questions. The first one would be in terms of the express and parcels in Spain. It seems that on the revenue side things are clearly improving. Can you, and taking into consideration these results, take us a little bit on your plans to reach break-even by the end of this year? If this revenue growth is a sign that you will probably reach your goals, and is this mostly the new account of Amazon, or you are gaining more additional new accounts? If you could take us a little bit on that, and also on the cost base of Spain, and how this is going to evolve throughout the year. The second question would be regarding overall OPEX. Okay, so Andrea, I think you said that we should expect flattish or slightly positive evolution in terms of OPEX. Positive meaning increase in OPEX. But My question is, we have been witnessing in the last few years CTT essentially lowering the costs, okay, and excluding the postal bank. So is this, do you really see this as a one-off this year because you are trying to increase the number of accounts at Bank CTT? And why does this integration of the mail and express and parcels is increasing the OPEX? If you could explain us a little bit that, and if what we shouldn't expect is that OPEX continues to go down, at least on a medium-term basis. And the final question is on the postal bank. Only one additional store this quarter. It seems that you are really slowing down in terms of the new branch openings. What are your plans until year end, and what do you think you will, what efforts you are going to make, considering that the interest rate scenario is still not very interesting for increasing deposits? Thank you. Hello?
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I'll come back to the beginning because I was on mute. So in terms of Spain, the revenues are in fact going up, volumes and revenue-wise. And you have to bear in mind that the first quarter 2016, we still have volumes from the customers that we did not renew contracts with, the two large customers that we mentioned all the year, last year. During January and February, only in March they stopped. And so when you compare, you have a higher base than you will have for the remaining of the year of 2016. And so the growth in terms of percentage-wise will for sure increase. This growth is coming from Amazon, but not only. We are capturing some direct customers. We even start again working with one of the two that left, but in better conditions for us. And also our franchisees are increasing volumes and revenues. We believe that we are benefiting from growth in the market as a whole, and we have set up a better competitive position in the way with all the work that we did during last year. And we are getting some benefits of it. In terms of costs, when you are growing activity, especially in Spain, which is totally variable cost-based, because we have the platforms, but then the rest, if we have more volumes, we have to pay more to the distribution, the ones that distribute it, we will see increase in costs in Spain. The issue is the efficiency, and so the balance between costs and revenues, and we believe that we are in the right direction, and we see that in the figures. And so we continue to say the same that we did in March, and that in the last quarter this year, we plan to show a break-even in Spain. In terms of overall OPEX, this comment of the costs that go up because of activity also applies. So you have the bank increasing costs this year compared with last year, and especially in the first quarter. You have the increased activity in express and parcels also bringing some additional costs. And then you have the continuous activity of streamlining and increasing efficiency on the mail business. And the net result of that
is what Andrea was trying to anticipate on the full year base, but it's not so easy. Of course, we have our budget and all that, but in the type of information that we disclose, it's not so easy to be totally black and white on that front. But the underlying trends are the ones that I described. In terms of the bank, we said some time ago, I believe it was after summer already, that we had decided to go slower in the opening of new branches, and we have decided that for good reasons. Number one, we have the acceptance of the market to the bank was being very good. The number of customers and accounts that we were acquiring was very strong, and that accelerated, and so that conviction even increased during this first quarter of this year shows that again. And so we concluded that we have the capacity to attract more customers, to sell with the number of branches that we had already, and also looking to the profile of customers that we were attracting and the usage of digital channels that they do. And a third reason, the decrease of branch networks that all banks are speeding up, and so that we didn't have a need to increase so fast, and it will be a more balanced development plan to go slower on that front, save CapEx, and that's why we announced in March that our guidance for CapEx in the bank was half of the one that was previously, from 20 to 10 million, as you would recall. And on top of that, we are saving more capex in bricks and mortars because we are using a part of it to increase our capacities in the digital world to have even a stronger capacity in terms of mobile and internet banking. And so, in fact, what you see of a single branch is a consequence of that. I'm not saying that we'll open only one during the full year of this year, but we are talking about a few tens. During the full year of this year, during the full year of 2017, which is consistent with the figure that we talked about in the CapEx.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions over the audio at this time, but we do have one last question over the webcast. It comes from Firmino Morgado from GLG Partners, and it reads as follows. What is the commitment in terms of dividends over the next 3 years? Can management commit to at least with a stable dividend? And can the capital needs of the bank jeopardize this stable dividend?
Thank you, Firmino, for the question. So our dividend policy is well known, and we are not changing it. And so I don't have a lot of comments on that front. As I commented in the yearly results back in March, when we announced that we will go ahead with the bank, we said that we believe that with the remaining business going normally, we could keep a stable growth dividend, which is our policy, and absorb the negative impact from the years of the bank before break-even by using cash and distributable reserves that we have. In the last AGM, 2 weeks ago, you, the shareholders, approved our proposal to even enlarge the amount of distributable reserves that we have in the balance sheet. So things are like this. With the trends that we with what we had last year, we will now distribute 113, I believe, percent of the net profit in dividends. But if you take out the negative impact of the bank, we are talking about something 83-84% of payout ratio. And so this is consistent with what we said. Without the bank, we are trying to have a stable growth. if we increase the bank and we don't have enough profit in that year, we don't generate cash flow enough on that year, we have cash enough to support that. If these basic trends change dramatically, no one can guarantee anything, and so I'm not saying yes to your question. I'm just qualifying the thinking process that we have. Any more questions?
There are no further questions at this time. I'd like to hand the call back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Just to thank you for attending and continued support. And we have in the last page the list of places and meetings that we will attend. As always, we will try to be very close to investors and analysts, or always available for the ones that want to discuss with us. And to, we go to the different markets or to be there present and to discuss the issues of CTT. Thank you very much again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This will conclude today's conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.